The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to the latest KOA FPL podcast. The long-awaited episode, because me and AJ have been away for a while. Not away from your ears and your screens, because obviously we do all different podcasts and videos and stuff. But FPL, it's been tricky to record because how game weeks sort of pan out and plan. But we're finally here to bring you an FPL podcast. Thanks so much for joining us as standards. And I'm joined by Alex Jones. As standard. My friend, come in. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, one take calls. He's done it. One take. Exactly what you want on a, what are we now? Tuesday afternoon. Well done, Ross. And yeah, we're back. It's been far too long, but often what we find is that our schedules don't match up. I've been off, you've been off. We've had unexpected things that have come up and all sorts, which have meant that recording this has been really difficult. And sometimes we find some time to record it, and then we're like, well, it's not really much point because there's a game tonight. We're midway through a game week, and we can't really start talking about our teams and our points when we still have players left to play. It seems a little bit counterproductive. So we've come to a good point here, which works really, really well. The game week, what would this be? 36 finished?
Yeah.
No,
35?
35. Game week 35. There we go. Finished last night with a fairly boring game between Palace and Nottingham Forest, and that means that we've got now three games left to look at. No more double game weeks, no more nonsense. It's just three more. As far as I'm aware, no more double game weeks. We're all done.
Almost four games left, isn't
there? Well, I think Ipswich have to play Brentford, Leicester, and West Ham.
Oh, what am I talking about? Four games? I'm still rusty. I'm rusty with FPL.
35, right. We're going to have a Premier League lesson here. We've played 35 games. Everyone has played 35 games now. There are 38 games in the Premier League. So three games left. Still have to keep an eye on Champions League and Europa League. We've got teams playing this week. We've got Arsenal playing tomorrow, Tottenham United on Thursday. Things are getting shifted around. Probably have a handful of them in the European finals as well. Can't forget Chelsea. So plenty to plan ahead and look ahead with. But I think we have to start with looking at where we are at the moment and looking back to last week.
Yeah, and I will admit, since we last recorded, I have had an absolute mare, and I will admit I have forgotten to do some certain things because maybe that's why we needed to record podcasts, so I can remind myself to do my team, because I've got three transfers to make, which we'll talk about our team going forward shortly. But game week 35, of course, Town with a comeback draw against Everton, a 2-2 draw there. I had Lim Delap in my team, but obviously he didn't do anything, which is annoying, but it is what it is. Maybe I should bring George Hurst. Maybe George Hurst should start for me, maybe. Maybe I'll bring George Hurst in.
We're already on the transfer discussions.
Ooh. Yeah, sorry, I'm getting too ahead of myself. But obviously the highest score was 105. The average was 41. I was just above the average with 51 points. AJ, what was yours?
55, which is all right. I'm happy with it, considering that I feel like I said this on a lot of FPL pods, by my standards, and this is wanting to break into the top hundreds, I feel like I'm limping across the line. But all in all, if I'm that far above the average, I've gone up in the leaderboard, I can't complain. We're in a good position, and it's been an all right game week.
Yeah, I will admit, I was worried at one stage because this was a game week that I completely forgot to change my team. You know, I was going to make some transfers, and then I just woke up Saturday morning, obviously travelling to Everton, and I went, oh no, I haven't done it yet. And I think the deadline was it Friday? So, and I was like, oh no. So,
yeah, Man City Wolves was the Friday night.
Yeah. So I was like, bollocks. And I looked at my team and went, oh, okay, I've got bloody Guardiola on my bench, Martinez, you know, and other players I was going to potentially start. But thankfully, Guardiola actually went into my team because I think Kanate didn't start for Liverpool or didn't play for Liverpool. So thankfully, Guardiola did start because he got me 8 points, which is great. But then I had Martinez on my bench, who got 9 points. And, Bart, the man from Brighton, got 3 points. So yeah, I'd rather have Martinez starting. Kirke's got 2 points for me. Robertson got 2 points as well, so they were rubbish. Bruno Guimaraes got 2 points. He was rubbish too. Brian from Brentford got me 5. Jared Bowen got me 9 points, AJ, because I think he got an assist, did he? Against... No, he scored.
He scored
against Spurs, and obviously got two bonuses as well. So, well done, Jared. Obviously, plays Town on the final day. So, do I keep him in my team? We'll discuss that later on. Mo Salah got 4 points for Liverpool, which was annoying. I may actually take Mo Salah on my team potentially because they've got Arsenal up next, Brighton, Palace. And yeah, but anyway, he got 4 points. If I captained him, once again, I wouldn't have probably captained him when he was playing against Chelsea. I would have probably been captained somebody else, but because I forgot, he was my captain, which was annoying. Liam Delap, as mentioned, Evan Nielsen from Bournemouth got me 6 points.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, take that. Score for Bournemouth against Arsenal in their win. He got a yellow card, though, so he got minus points. He also got me, I think the other week, because he got sent off, didn't he, against Man United. He also got me minus three. So I was actually going to take him out of my team, but then I completely forgot the transfer. But then obviously that got rescinded, didn't it? It got like, you know, they appealed it and he was fine. But he got six points. And Isak got me 9 lovely points against Newcastle because he got a goal and he got 3 bonus points. Why do you get 3
against
bonus points?
Brighton.
Brighton.
It's Brighton. Not going to place for Newcastle. Yeah. Why did he get 3 bonus points? I don't know. Because he scored a penalty, I guess. Yeah, as to why he got that. I don't actually think the game was on TV. Otherwise, I might have been able to have watched it. And I didn't get to match the day either. So, yeah, but I wouldn't be complaining about that, to be honest.
No, not at all. I would have rather been captained him because he would have got loads of bloody points. But going forward, these 3 game weeks, I'm just going to make sure because I've got 3 transfers to make. So, yeah, well, I'll have to see what I want to do. But AJ, you 55 points. Where did your points come?
I picked up on one of your errors, which I'll come to at the end. Areola in goal, which was a waste of time. He got 2 points. Defensively, it was originally going to be Kirkez, Guardiol and Trippier. The only one who got a return from that was Guardiol. I did have Strand Larsen in my team, but he had a knock, didn't play against Manchester City. So Ryan Aitnori came in, was lucky not to get sent off. So I probably dodged a bullet there. But he didn't get anything, so just 2 points. Murphy from Newcastle. Which Murphy is it again? Jacob Murphy, yeah?
Yeah.
Jacob Murphy from Newcastle, who did nothing against Brighton. I brought in Kevin De Bruyne, especially for this week, and he scored the only goal of the game against Wolves. Very, very happy with that, to the tune of 11 points. Salah, as you mentioned, useless. Brian from Brentford is back in for me, 5 points, happy with that. Marmoush did nothing for City. And then I did what you think you should have done. And I captained Alexander Isak against Brighton. And he picked up 18 sweet, sweet points. So I only had 3 players that got, 4 players that got returned. 18 from Isak, 11 from De Bruyne, 8 from Guardiol, and 5 from Brian from Brentford. Brian and Bumo, I think it's technically pronounced. Which is all right. It's okay.
So what have I done wrong then? You said something about...
You said you wanted to captain Isak.
Yeah.
You captained Salah, and yeah. I captained Isak, so...
Well, technically, I didn't captain Salah. I captained him weeks ago, and I completely forgot to change it, and because I would have probably captained him against, you know, for Newcastle against Brighton, but, yeah.
Does that mean you didn't do it against Ipswich either?
No, I think I did. Or did I?
So you wouldn't have done if you'd set it weeks ago and... Forgot about it.
Yeah. So that's annoying. That's annoying.
It's been a rough few weeks for us.
Yeah, I will admit. I'm just looking back quickly now, and it's not been good game weeks. Because I did bring in my bench boost in for game week 33, and my bench boost didn't really help because I only had basically 1 return. That was Kirkez, who got me 8 points. But then my bench was pretty. My defense was pretty solid that week because Kanate got me 9. Munez got me 6 and Guardiola got me 7. So it was a solid sort of like defensive unit. And Kirkez was just a nice little bonus. But then Bruno Fernandes got 1 point. Bloody Isak and Evan Nielsen got bloody 2 points each. So yeah, that wasn't a good game week. But yeah, since we last recorded, I don't know what's happened for me. My luck is sort of run out. Because now you're above me. We'll look at the table shortly. But I'm not happy with my team. But this is now the strong sort of run in. We've got three games to go. I'm going to be really, really serious. I'm going to make sure I cover all bases, got three transfers to, like, you know, look at just some stats and all that, do my scouting. AJ, I know you mentioned you brought in your assistant manager, you know, last time we recorded as well. So obviously that gives you that extra points.
Yeah, it did. I hate the assistant manager, to be honest. I really think it's stupid, but you've got to play the game. And I played it without changing. So obviously you can transfer your assistant manager while you have the chip. It does take a transfer away, so it's a risk to do it. But I just thought, you know what? Eddie Howe, you are my man. I'm sticking with you. And he did all right, to be fair. I'll go through and just find. Yeah, he got 11 points in game week 31. He got 23 points in game week 32. And then game week 33, he just got one, which was a bit rubbish. But all in all, can't complain about that. That was kind of the big move that helped me over the line, especially in 32, getting 23 points from him, which was a pretty good week. But the one bit that I'm really kicking myself for, I got 89 points, which is well above the average there. I was about 30 above the average in game week 32. I had Daniel Munoz in my team. He took a minus one, I think. Was that from an own goal or he got sent off? It was...
own goal.
No, it's because he conceded. It was literally because he conceded so many goals against Newcastle. They took a minus one and also got a booking. And I had Ryan Aitnori on my bench who scored, who had 14 points. So could have been well into the hundreds with that one, which is a shame. But all in all, as I said, I'm pretty happy with the way things have panned out. I've been consistently above the average now, which has kind of helped me go up a little bit. I've had big faith in two teams in particular. One is Newcastle, because I've seen for a little while that they've been starting to pick up. And with that Town fixture in mind, I've been thinking, you know what, I can see them getting a score. So having Trippier, Isak and Murphy in my team from last week paid off big time, and I got a really nice score from them, and also Wolves as well. I've been a little bit cautious of the fact that I've had three Wolves players in my team for the last few weeks, but apart from last week, it's really paid off. A bit annoyed I haven't had Cunha in there, to be honest, because I had a big debate going up to Newcastle thinking, do I go with Cunha? Do I go with Strand Larsen? And I ended up going with Strand Larsen thinking that Cunha, if he's on his way out, is he going to play that much? Yeah, he is. And he's going to score and he's going to get assists. And it's going to really mess with me. So that did a little bit. But all in all, I can't really complain too much. I'm pretty happy with how things have gone with the assistant manager and having faith in Newcastle and Wolves.
That's a big punt of start, having Trippier in the team, because he didn't start today against Ipswich for Newcastle, did he? Did he?
Yeah, he did. He played the full 90 minutes. He got two assists in that game. kept the clean sheet. Gave me 15 points. Yeah, I was quite lucky with that one. He's been starting most games. Got 10 points against Palace. He's been starting pretty consistently at the moment due to injury issues. They've got Lewis Hall, who's out. So it's been Tino Livramento, who's switched over to the left. Trippier's come in on the right. And we're seeing some of the Kieran Trippier of old, which makes him an interesting asset. I remember when he was first at Newcastle and he was just getting assist after assist. And he was like on free kicks, on all sorts of set pieces. And then he just kind of dipped in form a little bit, came out of the team. But now you're starting to see, as I said, yeah, Kieran Trippier of old. And he's a very interesting player at, what is he, 5.7 million.
Yeah, I think I tried my best to forget about that game against Newcastle, because obviously Town were officially relegated that day. So I tried to just ignore everything that happened in that game, especially players who played and started and scored. Only, obviously, Isak, because he was in my team. So, yeah, thanks for the goal. But obviously, it wasn't an ideal day for Ipswich Town. And yeah, obviously, we've still got assets, and we'll still continue that trend this season, haven't we, AJ? Having one Ipswich Town asset. Obviously, I've got Liam Delap. I think you've got Dar O'Shea. But obviously, Delap's not been scoring many goals recently. So I may have to look at maybe changing my Ipswich Town asset. I want to quickly take a look at the highest points, AJ, of the game week. 105 from Zuha, who had a decent team. Yeah, he had Kevin De Bruyne in his team as well. Or her, could be her, you never know. 22 points, because, yeah, Kevin got 22 points because of that. Captained him because he got the goal against Wolves in that 1-0 win. Isak 9, Wissa 7, Brian from Brentford 5, Jared Bowen 9. Cole Palmer is a big talking point, AJ, because obviously he's been off the ball.
Finally scored.
10 points, because yeah, he's been looking at his. I think the last time he got double figures was against Bournemouth back in last January. Goal?
Yeah. That might have been his last goal. I don't think he's scored since then. He has been in horrendous form. And I know that I kept him in for far longer than I feel I should have. And I think a lot of other people did. I'm not really convinced it's going to suddenly lead to him catching fire in the Premier League. I suppose you'll have to wait and see. They're fighting on a couple of fronts, aren't they, Chelsea? But it's a tough, tough running for them, going to Newcastle next, hosting Man United and going to Forest. Still got to think about the Conference League, because even though it doesn't mean as much, it's still a competition that has to be taken seriously, even though they will rotate on Thursday. I'd be interested to know if anyone is looking at Cole Palmer after Sunday and thinking, you know what, I'm going to go back on the hype train for that. Not for me.
No. And it'd be interesting to see if people maybe play Kevin De Bruyne more now in the next few games, because obviously, you know, he's going to be leaving Man City at the end of the season. You know, last time he could sort of use him in FPL, and obviously he's going to be, you know, wanting to end his Man City career on a high, and obviously he got a goal in the last game week. So I'll be interested in just looking at any other names in his team. Matty Cash got him 7 points. Martinez in goal got him 9 points. Morello from Nottingham Forest, of course, scored the goal for Forest. Got 10 lovely points because obviously they got that draw. What, you get a bonus? You got 2 bonus points there. 105 points was advised.
Yeah. Can I pick out as a team here as well? When you start to notice trends with teams, it becomes quite interesting. And there is a team who, unfortunately, have hit an incredible patch of form recently. They're unbeaten in 5. They've won 3 on the bounce. And the returns they've had from some of their attacking players are really, really good. And they are Brentford. Brentford, of course, come to Portman Road on Saturday. So they will be popular picks. Their run-in is Ipswich away, Fulham at home, Wolves away, which looks fairly favourable. Take Johan Wissa. Last 4 games, 9 points, 11 points, 7 points, 7 points. Brian and Bumo, 2 points, 18 points, 2 points, 5 points. Their attacking players are exceptional and they're starting to get results as well. You remember that Brentford home games have often been kind of basketball matches, but they look more organised. Obviously, it was a bit of a basketball match on Sunday, wasn't it? That 4-3 win against Manchester United. But these are really strong attacking players and they're the kind of ones that you have to keep an eye on. And definitely with Wissa, I know I've already got Brian and Bumo and the prospect of doubling up worries me a little bit. But with Wissa and possibly needing to replace Jorgen Strand Larsen, he comes right to the top of my thinking.
Yeah, well, let's talk then, AJ, about our potential changes. We've obviously got 3 games left to go. I've got 3 transfers to make, so I need to make some decisions. Could maybe save another transfer for another week if needed. But anybody that you're looking to maybe get rid of, as you said, you already mentioned one player there, but anybody else you're looking to bring in, and you're looking at the fixtures a little bit closer than normal because of, we've only got 3 games to go?
Yeah, a little bit. The one that I had planned on doing, if I had kind of transfer space, was trying to get Dara O'Shea out. And I've been really keen on Ben Johnson at the moment, playing in a more advanced... Don't laugh.
No, it's good. Well, he can't play... What, was he just spent for 1 game or was it 3 games? Because
Yeah, just for 1 game. Just for 1.
Okay, that's fine. So he's
back. I was thinking about him before the Newcastle game, and I was very fortunate. Obviously, I didn't swap him over, even though it would have been on my bench. It wouldn't have counted. But just having him playing consistently, I assume he'll probably come back into the starting lineup against Brentford. We'll have to wait and see with that one. But he becomes really interesting as the Ipswich player. The other bit that I need to start having a look at will be the striker situation, because Jorgen Strand Larsen missed out last time. And as I said, I'm in that kind of position where I need to start thinking about potential replacements. Is he going to come straight back into the team? Do they want to rush him? Probably not. I'm not sure how serious that will be. Mateus Cunha is definitely an interesting one with, 15 points against Leicester. Got 8 against, what was that, United, 7 against Tottenham. He's been on really good form after his ban. The fixtures are all right. Brighton at home, okay, going good guns at the moment. was they try and chase down that European spot, a trip to Crystal Palace, who are probably going to be, I think they might actually be fresh off their FA Cup final against Manchester City, and then playing Brentford on final day. At the moment, though, it's Wissa that stands out the most with how he's playing. And it pains me to say, and it's especially with that Portman Road record, Ipswich have not been performing at Portman Road. They've not been getting the results. You've got a Brentford side here that are coming on an unbeaten run. And it felt for such a long time that their season was over. And now they've got a sense of a Conference League spot. I really think that you could potentially argue they're the most likely candidates to suddenly get up to eighth and end up in the Conference League. So they're the ones to watch for me with a game against Ipswich this weekend. Jan Visser might be the man coming into my team, I think.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Do you know what? He's a player that I've been looking at for a while. And I was actually potentially going to bring him in last game week, but obviously I completely forgot about the deadline and I couldn't do it. But yeah, I think I'm just going to stick with Brian from Brentford. I think I'm going to maybe look at some other, because I've got three transfers. Your opinion, do you think I should make all those transfers in this game week, or should I leave maybe one for another game week? Because we get another transfer next game week, but should I just go all out with the three transfers?
Do you feel like it needs major surgery at the moment? I mean, that's kind of the way to think about it. At the end of the day, you've not got that much more to play. You've only got three more windows to make those transfers. So if you see something now, you see something that's kind of more long-sighted and looking further into the next few weeks rather than just making a transfer for one game week, then yeah, if you look in the run-in and say, actually, in the same way that I look at maybe Brentford with Wissa, yeah, it's for the Ipswich game, but I do fancy him against Wolves and whoever I said it was after that, Brighton, I think it might have been, I can't remember. Fulham, sorry, it was for that one. It's those kind of bits where you look at it and say, actually, maybe going for a triple change is good. And I've kind of had to, I took a hit a few weeks ago because I looked at it and thought, actually, I need to go through and make sure the team's in a fairly decent spot. And that's where I was able to then go in and bring in my three Newcastle players and make sure that I had them for that run and make sure I had the three Wolves players because I saw they were in a good run. So, yeah, it's about spotting trends with teams. I think that teams like Brentford, for example, fly under the radar a little bit because they kind of come from lower mid-table. People don't really care about lower mid-table at the moment. If I asked you where... Who's 13th at the moment? Any idea off the top of your head?
Oh, bloody hell. Is it actually Brentford?
No, it's Wolves, which is crazy, by the way. But those kind of teams in that bracket, Brentford are 9th, by the way, just 1 point off Bournemouth in what will probably be that Conference League spot. But the teams in that bracket, you forget about them so easily. So when they start to make a little run of form, like that's when you might want to capitalise. And when they start to have dips going the other way, like Everton have, for example, West Ham over an extended period, although Bowen seems to be paying off. That's when you need to start thinking, actually, you know, they've got two or three games here where they could really carry on that form or where they might continue to dip down.
Yeah, and obviously the next game week, AJ, is... It was a 1:30 deadline. So there's actually four games at 3:00. Fulham, Everton, Ipswich, Brentford, Southampton, Man City. So get loads of Man City assets, ladies and gentlemen. Wolves, Brighton. And then the evening kickoff is Bournemouth, Aston Villa. And then there's five games on Sunday. There's a midday kickoff. Newcastle, Chelsea on midday on a Sunday.
That is horrendous. I feel what so sorry for those Chelsea fans. That is a dreadful trip for midday on a Sunday.
Yeah, then West Ham, Man United, 2:15. Forest, Leicester, also 2:15. And also Spurs, Palace, 2:15. Then obviously the last game of the Sunday is Liverpool versus Arsenal, which could have been potentially a title decider. But obviously we all know Liverpool have won the league. And you know what? This could be controversial. As I said earlier, I may take Mo Salah out because Liverpool won the title. They may just like, you know what? They're on the beach. They won the title. Like, I may get Konate out of my team as well and just have no Liverpool assets and maybe just go for teams who are obviously fighting for positions, you know, Europe and all that sort of stuff. So
what are Arsenal going to look like, though? And that's going to be an interesting one where I think it'd be good to talk through the fixtures for this weekend in a second, but factor in Europe here. Arsenal don't play today. They've got the Wednesday night game. They're going to go to Paris. It is the biggest game well, since the last time they played PSG last week, but it's a huge tie for them. It's the biggest European tie they've had in 15 odd years. They are going to have to go all out to try and get a result away at PSG, which will be incredibly difficult. And if you're putting all your eggs into that basket, like Arteta will now, because they will finish second, I think, then what kind of position are they going to show up in on Sunday at Anfield as well? This is not at the Emirates. They've got to go to Anfield. Either they're going to be dejected having lost it, or they'll be through to the final and you've kind of got to have that mental high and come back down to play a league game when your league campaign's over. So that's kind of the interesting bit for me, is thinking about the European games. Got to have a look at what Arsenal are doing in the Champions League, then the Europa League. Tottenham go to Bodo Glimt. If you've got Tottenham assets, that's a huge, huge game, because they are, yeah, a 3-1 lead is looking good, but going to the Arctic Circle to try and defend that, where they have an excellent home record, Bodo Glimt, means that that could be a full-strength Spurs side. United, are they going to rotate? Probably not, given that their league campaign is dead. So, again, these are sides that are going to end up prioritising European competition. Chelsea maybe on the other side of that spectrum, where they really need to compete to make sure that they qualify for the Champions League through the Premier League, but they're 4-1 up against Djurgården in the Conference League, so they can go and make those changes there. So Tottenham, United, are they going to make changes? Arsenal as well in the Premier League. Chelsea probably going to go full strength. So there's maybe more to it with those fixtures in a way. And I think the hardest one to predict then becomes Liverpool and Arsenal, because neither team really care that much about it, I don't think.
No, I don't think so. So this is my week to really do some scouting, decide on some transfers. I think I'm going to make all my free transfers this week and just really go for it. Because, yeah, sort of segues onto the leaderboard, because I am obviously, AJ's now in front of me, which fair enough, my friend. I'm not even in the top 100, but you're not in the top 100 either, but you are closer than me. I'm 156, which is not great. But I have gone up this week, which is at least just one bonus. But then you're 105th, my friend, but you are, let me have a little look. So if you just got a few points, you would like 100, top 100 or 99th is you're 3 points away from that man. So from Gary
Mills.
That's
what I need top 100. If I don't get into the top 100, I assume that I don't know what would happen to me, like personally, but I would assume that like I would just disintegrate into like this pile of nothingness. And life just wouldn't be worth living. So I really need to make sure I get into the top 100, because it will be a humongous failure if not.
Yeah, well, if I somehow have an unbelievable last three games and get above you, yeah. Then...
Oh, but it's not impossible. Yeah. I mean, look, what's the gaps? 40-odd points. And yeah, it does feel like a lot, doesn't it? But all it takes is a triple captain. You've still got yours to play. A really good game week, something like that. And everything can change, but only three more opportunities for it.
Yeah, I just don't know what to do with my triple captain, because if I'm going to get rid of Salah and look at my other assets, maybe Isak could be the potential, but then Newcastle have got, I wouldn't say tricky fixtures, but they've still got, you know, games at
Chelsea, Arsenal. They've got to play Everton on final day. I mean, obviously, you've lost your opportunity to play it in the double game week, so you're looking at a single fixture. With that, Isak on final day against Everton would be an interesting one. Could you look at, if you're going to make changes and City have got to play Southampton, possibly that would be the way to look at it. Look at who teams like Southampton and Leicester are playing and kind of hedge your bets against them. Although Southampton's running is Everton, I wouldn't be getting any Everton players and triple captaining them. And then Arsenal, but I don't think Arsenal will care about that game. And Leicester have Forest, obviously Town and Bournemouth. Yeah, it feels like the teams that have stuff to play for also do have very big difficult games as well, so that's probably going to be your hardest balance to find. Isak maybe, yeah, there's an interesting one, or possibly a City player against Southampton this weekend,
or maybe I'll put it on Ipswich player, just random Ipswich player, and I don't know, Julio and Ciso, go on. Ooh. Mate, go and score and have a screamer, get an assist. That'd be a great story for the podcast. Like Ipswich Town player, I triple captained him and he got loads of points for me, and that, you know, made me get into the top 100. But yeah, we shall see. I'll decide this week, and we obviously will discuss next week how we got on and what I did with my free transfers. And did I use my triple captain? Maybe I'll wait in a few more game weeks. But We shall see. But let's take a look at the leaderboard as a whole, AJ, because we've got a new leader, the last one we recorded, but I think Roberto Teller has been on top of the leaderboard for the last few game weeks. But yeah, he actually had a pretty bad game week. He only got 45 points. So he's still in the lead, though, by 17 points. So he would have gone even further if he got, obviously, some more points. But yeah, it was only really Isaac, Brian from Brentford, Guardiola, who got him the points. And he had Ruben Diaz on his bench, who got him 7 points. But everyone else pretty much didn't do that great. Nico Williams of Nottingham Forest got him 5 points. So, yeah. But do you think he is, looking at that, do you think he is potentially going to be the champion of the Kings of Anglia FPL League?
We've kind of felt this way a few times now, haven't we, where someone has established a lead of maybe about 15, 20 points at the top, and then they've had a stinker. And it always feels like you get to that point where you get to the top or get towards the top. I mean, I was in the top 20 for a bit. And then you think, I've got my team all lined up. Everything's good. These are the differentials. I'm confident they'll perform. And then everything just kind of goes wrong. So the most likely, for sure. But I'm not convinced. It definitely isn't over yet. There's a nice kind of spread of players in that team as well that he's got, which, I mean, I really like, but all it takes would be one or two bad moments and everything can come back into play. And it's not just about making sure that the team behind you doesn't have a good week. All it would take would be the team in seventh or eighth to go and have a brilliant week and everything changes. So, yeah, sorry, Roberto Teller. I'm not calling this race just yet.
Okay, now obviously James Willerton, who's been there for a while, he's third at the moment. You've got G2, who is second, so they're the ones chasing. But you've got Bradley Dawson, you know, he's not too far away either. Jack Plum, Tom Harrods, Joshua Andoras, Pete Harrison, Gianluca Pagno, Chris Chambers. So you never know, a final sort of push. Could see, but there was a little bit like Ryan Connor was up there for a while. I know Ryan Connor, I think he does listen to the pod. He's now down to 13th. He only got 44. Has he given up? Has he given up? I don't know. He had three new
cards. You can't give up when you're that far up.
No, you can't. You've got to keep going. Good old Ben Diaf, friend of the show. He's gone up to 18th. So that's great to see. But yeah, any other business, AJ, as we go into game week 36?
Should we mention it then? I feel a little bit bad calling players out. We did get this sent in to us, the Ben Godfrey one. Now, Ben Godfrey, I'm adamant as well from the start. He's been given the worst hand possible. You don't play for half season. You get parachuted in against Manchester City and other games where they become really hard and you concede lots of goals. Your performances aren't as good because you're not a shop. You're coming into a team that's struggling with no kind of match rhythm or fitness in the best league in the world against the top players in the world. It's been really, really hard for him, but the FPL stats back it up. This was won by FPL Meerkat, who kind of highlighted this. He's the only player in the entire game to be on a negative points total so far. He's on minus 1 point. Hasn't been sent off or anything. It's just because he's conceded so many goals in the games he's been involved in. He's played 3 matches and has not scored above 0 points. Played 158 minutes of football and conceded 10 goals in that time. Yeah, it's pretty rough, that, isn't it? Feel for him a little bit. He's still only on 4 million as well because not enough people have transferred him in to then transfer him out again. So his price isn't going to suddenly drop off a cliff. Yeah, poor Ben Godfrey. You've got to feel for him a little bit, but kind of sums up the town assets and especially defensively with some of these tough ones that they've had. Shame that we won't have any next season, of course.
Yeah, unfortunately not. So we only really got maybe 3 more of these podcasts to record, potentially 4, where we'll do like a end of season talking with the champion of the FPL League. But I want to give a shout out to James Farthing, who of course put that in the KOA FPL only chat that we've got, for sort of pointing out for us. So there you go, James. We've talked about it. And yeah, poor Ben Godfrey. I don't know where I was going with that.
Poor Ben Godfrey, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, deadline 1:30 Saturday. So make sure to bring in your players for the last 3 games of the season. I hope you've enjoyed the FPL pod throughout this campaign. We've tried our best to record them as much as possible. We'll have to look back at how many we've done. But we are going to make sure they are consistent for the final few game weeks, because I think now it should be fine, because it's going to be just normal Saturday, Sunday, all that jazz. So, yeah, thanks again for joining me. AJ, any other business? Anything else you want to mention?
No other business. On to the next game week. We go again.
Yes, we do indeed. Thanks again for listening. Big shout out to our sponsors, Stardust Spirits, for all your drink, gin, rum, vodka, all that sort of stuff. Use the code KOA to get 20% off your next order. And yeah, thanks again for listening to another Kings of Anglia FPL podcast. Bye for now.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.